looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Big Jim Murray in once again for Tony Maserati. Tonight, got Marshall Hook alongside as well. Jimmy Stewart behind the glass producing the show. And Jimmy, you can open up the phone lines and release the hounds, as they say. If you want to join the show tonight, 617-779-0985. And here we go, Hook, finally, yep. For the first time, at least to me, for the first time since the beginning of this month, when the Red Sox took 2 of 3 against the reigning champion Houston Astros in Houston. We get a real series for the Boston Red Sox starting tonight in the Bronx for the 1 of 3 against the New York Yankees. Tonight, game one, Eduardo Rodriguez going up against CC Sabathia. Tomorrow night, game two, Chris Sale going up against Sonny Gray. And then Sunday night in what is appointment television, even if you're a casual Red Sox fan, David Price going up against Luis Severino. Tomorrow's a day game, by the way. I say that it's real baseball, and it actually matters for the first time since that Astros series, because as it comes to find out, the Mariners, I think that they're frauds. This Angels team, when I was in the building last night, I couldn't have been more wrong about them going into the season. I was like, ooh, well, they've made some nice moves to this infield here, the Angels, now with Shohei Ohtani. If he pans out, it looked like he did prior to his injury, Angels are going to be a real threat in the American League. Turns out they stink just as bad as everyone else in the American League. Despite Alex Cora spinning the wheel of gutless bums last night, landing on Joe Kelly, he did his best to try to puke that game away like he did the night prior. But thanks to good defense and Jackie Bradley Jr., who I know you have some strong thoughts on as well, at least those that defend him, Hook, he bailed them all out, and they've now won 4 straight, 6 of their last 7, and they are the hutter of the two teams coming into this huge series tonight. 55 wins, on pace for 108. As I said during the Felger and Maz show today, I put a little bit of an asterisk next to these 55 wins. I said this yesterday, too, looking at this team through 81 games. The league stinks. The league stinks. There's 3 good teams in the American League to me. The Astros, the Yankees, the Red Sox. So I doubt this team. I think most people are right to doubt this team. Correct me if I'm wrong, Hook. You're one of these people. You doubt this team because they've crapped out the last couple of postseasons. They have no pitcher on this staff that has any postseason success. The bullpen is questionable at best. I don't know how anyone could trust them. Like, there's a lot of question marks despite the 55 wins. And until they can prove it in the postseason, or at least maybe this weekend, starting with these first three, with the remaining 13 games against the Yankees, who you'll be neck and neck with from now until October, I'm going to continue to doubt unless they prove it otherwise.
It's not so much that I doubt them. It's just that I'm not believing that regular season success this year is different than regular season success last year than the year before, right? I mean, they're the two-time division winner, and they got blown out in the first round of the playoffs both those years. So, yes, they're doing it a little bit differently this year. Obviously, one of the concerns was last year was run scoring and specifically power and the addition of J.D. Martinez, who I am more than happy to admit and have admitted numerous times I was wrong about,
same
at least
here.
Thus far. I mean, I thought that he was going to be a flash in the pan last year, and he had no sustained success. But at least for right now, he is the core of this team, offensively speaking, right there next to Mookie Betts, who is having a resurgent season. So, yes, they are doing things offensively that they didn't do last year. Will that continue in October? Maybe. But regardless, the guys that they're going to be sending to the mound to start games in October are the same guys they sent there last year, and they didn't do anything for them. So they may look different. They may be appearing differently. I guess their chances are marginally better. But I'm just not ready to say, yes, whatever their problems were last year have somehow been fixed because they have J.D. Martinez hitting home runs.
And their problems with the bullpen that arose last night, or the way Joe Kelly's looked the last few games, this could potentially bite them in the ass for game one of this series in the Bronx tonight. And we'll get to that in a minute. But either way, if you disagree, I'd like to hear from you at 617-779-0985. I look at this series, and the stakes are huge. you can't hype this or any other game remaining against the Yankees this season enough because, again, these two, to me, are going to be neck and neck until October, and winning the division is going to be enormous come the playoffs. The second-place team, if they end up winning the wild card game, and I would like Chris Sale up against that Mariners lineup, only a couple of guys in that lineup that, you know, can hurt you, but... You know, like, they get past that. Like, still, I don't know if you can trust this bullpen, even if they add another arm. The second-place team is not going to have home field for any other series. So every game between the Red Sox and Yankees from here on out, starting tonight, it matters. It's huge. And it's not going to be a complete disaster if they lose two out of three this weekend. It would ultimately mean right now, if I'm looking at the standings correctly, they would be one game back in the season series. So not a complete disaster. But they get swept. The worst-case scenario here this weekend is it's like DEFCON 2. It's bad. Getting swept puts the Red Sox two games back, three in the season series, and it will set the Yankees up as the front-runner going into the second half with 10 games remaining. So it's huge. All of these games against the Yankees are huge. Pointing out the obvious, I know, but I don't think we can hype up this series enough. The bullpen and what happened last night and really what's been going on here with Joe Kelly, one of the names on the wheel of gutless bums. 11 games he's played in June. In those 11, 11 hits, 7 walks, 8 runs, and 8 2/3. And if it wasn't for Andrew Benintendi last night, that game against the Angels as they wrap up this series might have gone another way. But because of that, Craig Kimbrel ends up having to get used last night. So the Red Sox might not have Craig Kimbrel in this one tonight. 47 pitches over 2 1/3 over the last couple of days. That could potentially hurt the Red Sox and start this series off on a down note tonight. So something to keep an eye on. And you mentioned the lineup, too, in the top of the hour hub headlines, Marshall.
Yeah.
Who is batting cleanup for the Red Sox tonight?
One Stephen Pearce, late of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Stephen Pearce. And it seems like this is maybe a curious matchup, but it's actually, on paper, a good move for Alex Cora here. So this Steve Pearce, who... You know, I'm not going to lie. I know precious little about, other than the fact that he's been a journeyman, especially in the American League East. Now that he's with the Red Sox, tonight I saw this odd little stat. He will now have played for every team in the American League East as of tonight. 10 years in the league, or 12 years, either way. This is now 6 teams, but he can hit lefties. And this is why he's playing tonight, as the Red Sox are going up against CC Sabathia. So if you're looking at this and you're like, what? This guy, basically, we just got him last night from the Toronto Blue Jays. He's batting cleanup tonight in this first game against the Yankees. His career against CC Sabathia, 9-for-33, 273 average, 2 home runs, 4 RBI. So, at least on paper, this is a smart move by Alex Cora. And I don't know about you, Hook. I'm going to trust the man because I think overall, and I was talking about this last night, looking at the Red Sox through the first half in 81 games, I think Cora's been a positive.
Yeah, he's
been fine. I'm
going
to trust him on this one.
And I also think there's something about when you bring a new player in like this, let's just throw him right in there. I mean, if this is what he's here to do, to be that half of a potential first base platoon or in the mix in first base and outfield, then let's go. Let's go. Fine. Get him in there. Let's do it.
And the best hope here is, in this move, is that he ends up being this year's Eduardo Rodriguez. And, Eduardo Nunez. Eduardo Nunez last year, along with Benintendi, was, you know, arguably the best offensive player the Red Sox had in the second half. He's been garbage this year, both at the plate and defensively, but hopefully this is what Pearce can end up being for this team this season. But he's in the lineup tonight, batting cleanup, Red Sox, Yankees. Kind of feels like the early aughts-ish, a little bit. It's never going to really feel like that again. The importance of Red Sox-Yankees series isn't going to ever really feel like that again, but these are important. In all of these games, the 13 left between the Red Sox and the Yankees, it will determine the American League East. It will determine the home field. And it's huge. So while it won't ever feel like, you know, 99 or 2003 all ever again, you should be hyped for this series tonight. So we'll take your calls at 617-779-0985. First of three, Red Sox Yankees in the Bronx. 617-779-0985. We'll hear from you and Jared Carabas in this hour of the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. 98.5 The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's time for a Section 10 preview with Carabas.
Yo, tell us what your podcast is about.
any opportunity I have to play that, I'm going to play it. Red Sox, Yankees from the stadium tonight. It is the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5 of Sports. Big Jim Murray in for Tony Maz tonight. I play that because Jared Carrabas of Barstool Sports joining us here. First of three huge series, Red Sox-Yankees, helping determine the American League East. And Jared Carrabas here on the Expert Hotline. Are you at the stadium tonight, Jared?
Big Jim, I got to tell you, I had to duck out in a Yankee souvenir store to do this. We were at the bar. And I was like, you know what? Got to talk to Big Jim Murray. We got to talk Sox. We got to talk Yanks. So here I am, surrounded by walls and walls of Yankee merchandise
and pinstripe Yahoos too. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. And are you there with Hubs, who covers the Yankees for Barstool, all but guaranteeing one of you ends up being tortured tonight and the rest of the series?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's me, Hubs, Trent is here, and Casey Smith is also with us as well. So it's a nice little Barstool group that we got.
All right, excellent. So am I overplaying this and hyping up this series? Because, I mean, I've now the last couple of days here, and now looking at this team through now 82 games, Jared, I feel like, to me, the American League as a whole has three really good teams, and it's the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Houston Astros, who look like they might have a bit of a World Series hangover. So I'm ready for some real baseball, and this is the first of the 13 remaining between the Red Sox and Yankees, and I think it's pointing out the obvious. Look, this is going to help determine the American League East. This series is huge.
Yeah, no, it's 100% true. I would probably also include the Seattle Mariners in that conversation, but there was sort of a measuring stick there when they came out to the East Coast and they played the Red Sox and they played the Yankees, and they do not have a winning record against either of those two teams. So I still think they belong in the conversation, but definitely not in the same tier of teams as the Red Sox, Yankees, and Astros. But yeah, I think 100% that this is a measuring stick type series, and it's no longer early. We're but right smack in the middle of the season. And I think right now, you know, you look back to some more of the historical matchups over history, and the whole Derek Jeter diving into the stand thing, that was July 1st. So we're right now at a point where these two teams are not yet complete. I still think that, you know, both teams will probably add at the trade deadline. So the teams that meet each other, if they do meet each other in the postseason, will look a little bit different. But, I mean, for everything else is right there. So, yeah, you're going to be able to tell a lot in this series this weekend.
Do you question the decision by Alex Cora to immediately throw Steve Pierce right into the lineup tonight? He's at first base. He's batting cleanup. They make the move last night to get him from Toronto. Now, I know he hits lefties, and I brought up some numbers earlier. He's had some success against CC Sabathia, but I don't know. Is this maybe almost too big of a moment to throw him right into the fire like this?
No, I don't think it's too much for him to be able to handle. It's not like he's a young kid. He's 35. He's now played for every team in the American League East. So I don't think that the moment is going to be something that gets to him. I don't hate the move. The numbers are very, very good against lefties. He does well against Sabathia. The Red Sox, they're not a bad team against left-handed pitching, but they're more of a middle-of-the-pack team against left-handed pitching, and they can definitely use someone who has success against lefties, especially. You know, you want to build off that success that you had against Sabathia in May. They knocked him out of the game in four innings. And I think whoever wins the game tonight is going to take two out of three. I think that this is the pivotal game in this series.
So with that, do you have any concerns about the availability of Craig Kimbrell in this, because he's had to throw the last couple of games against the Angels?
I mean, I'm sure they have these conversations with all their relievers before the game. And if he says that he can go, then he can go. And I think that they've also sort of managed him well, or a lot better than John Farrell, I'll just say that. I think that, you know, Alex Cora and his coaching staff has managed Kimbrell a hell of a lot better than John Farrell did. So I don't have any concerns. I mean, obviously, you're not going to see him three times in the series. But, I think that if he's ready to go, I'm not going to be overly cautious with him.
Talking to Jared Carrabas, Barstool Sports, who is at the stadium tonight for Game 1, Red Sox-Yankees in New York. It is Baseball Reporters here on 98.5 of Sports. Did you just get attacked, Jared? What happened?
This is someone was moving a ladder.
Oh, all right. Well, it's very busy there in that store that you've ducked into. How's the overall vibe there? I mean, does it feel like, I don't know, the old days of going into the stadium, and it feels, you know, does it feel like almost a playoff vibe?
No, honestly, it doesn't. I don't know if it's just because I'm not used to being around here or anything like that. You know, you can definitely get that sense around Fenway when the moment's right. But right now, just looks like a bunch of Yankee fans just walking to Yankee Stadium
with their
trying to pick out their their jerseys with the last names on the back, even though the real players don't actually have that.
With the terrible, terrible accents. yeah. Who's got more pressure on them for this series? Is, you know, the Yankees not slumping, but, you know, having got swept by the Tampa Bay Rays last week, they're coming in not as hard as the Red Sox, who've just won four in a row. Who's got more pressure going on this going into this series?
I would say the Yankees. I would say the Yankees because it's their house. They have their ace Severino going. They got Sebastian going. They got Gray going. They moved their rotation around so that Domingo Herman was not pitching in this series. So they aligned it. I mean, this series means something to them. You know, they like we're throwing out Steve Pierce, who we just got last night. We're kind of saying like, all right, here's what we got, and you know, deal with it. But the Yankees, they moved some things around to give themselves an advantage in this series, and it's their home field. And you know, they played really well against Boston back in May. So yeah, I think. This is definitely on them to sort of answer the bell.
All right, your boy, David Price, goes Sunday night against Luis Severino, who's arguably the best pitcher in baseball so far in this first half of the season. But he's skating a little bit, and good for him that, you know, no Gary Sanchez, who's killed him in the lineup. He's out in the 10-day disabled list. How much pressure does he have on him in that game on Sunday night, considering how he's, you know, tapped out or had the hand issue the last couple of times he's gone up against this team?
Yeah, I don't know how much pressure he feels, probably a decent amount, but I you know, this is the biggest start of his season, and that there's no denying that he's got an ERA in the twos over his last nine starts, which is the lowest on the Red Sox staff, Chris Sale included. So I think, you know, if he goes out and has a stinker on Sunday, then that kind of negates the run that he's been on. So I think that, you know, there's pressure to obviously pitching well on Sunday, especially, you know, if it's 1-1 and you're going for the series win, there's pressure there. There's pressure because it's Sunday night baseball. There's pressure because it's the Yankees and it's a divisional opponent. But there's also sort of pressure to validate the run that you've been on. So, knowing the circumstances and there's multiple factors here, I hope that, you know, he can sort of just hone in on his opponent because there was that start last summer where he went 8 shutout innings against the Yankees. I think that was like his last start before, you know, we didn't see him again for the rest of the year as a starting pitcher. So he's fully capable of doing this. And like you mentioned, Gary Sanchez, that's been his biggest nemesis in that Yankees lineup. So the fact that, you know, Sanchez is on the shelf will certainly play to Price's favor.
Again, talking to Jared Carrabas of Barstool Sports. While I have you, because I had to fill in for Maz last night, too, so looking at this team through the first 81 games as of last night and talking about the negatives and positives, and I will readily admit, and you can, you know, rub yourself raw if you'd like, Jared. I was one of the people that was a complete idiot about J.D. Martinez. You were right. I was wrong. I'm man enough to admit it. He's a difference maker in the lineup, and as of right now, if he keeps up this pace, you know. Right now, he looks like one of the great signings, free agent signings in this team's history. I put him up there with Ortiz and Manny Ramirez. But that being said, one of the big negatives, this bullpen. Do you trust it, and how do you fix it?
So do I trust it? No. You know, you sort of look at, and I've made this sort of point before where I think I made this with Maz, talking about, you know, it's the postseason or it's a big series, and the Red Sox have one of the best bullpens statistically in the league, but you go into a big series, like, for example, that four-game series in Houston, and the bullpen gate opens, and out comes Matt Barnes or Joe Kelly or, you know, like, name anyone that's not named Craig Kimbrell.
Right.
And what is the confidence level in those guys? And I'm sure it's not incredibly high. So, you know, I think that they're going to have to address that, and I don't think that the answer is Thornburg. I think you'll see Thornburg, but I don't think that's a guy that you're going to automatically depend on to be the guy behind Craig Kimbrell. And then there's obviously the third round pick this year was Durbin Feltman. And everyone was saying, oh yeah, he's going to be on the fast track for the majors this year. I don't think that that's going to happen either. So they're going to have to do something to get a dependable reliever back there, sort of kind of what they did last year with Addison Reed. Cause you know, if you want to be built for the postseason, that's a very important area that you're going to need to address.
So is there a name that's realistic that Dave Dombrowski can make a deal for that, you know, that they can make a deal for without having to give up a Rafael Devers? I know that Brad Hand, who's out in San Diego, has been a name that's bandied about, but they would want to have Rafael Devers, so maybe take that one off the table. But what about a Jurys Familia? Is the Mets are going to try to tear that thing apart? Maybe Addison Reed again, who's out in Minnesota, although he's kind of sucked. Is there anyone you think Dombrowski can realistically get to try to shore this thing up or at least get someone more someone you'd have more confidence in the eighth inning?
Yeah, it's kind of a loaded question because the Red Sox don't have a ton of money to play with right now, and that's the reason why Castillo is not up when Jackie Bradley was struggling. It's because I think they have about $3 million to play with, and once you go over, you know, that luxury tax threshold, now you're in danger of your draft pick the following year falling 10 spots and all these other penalties that have sort of come about in the new CBA. So money is the biggest factor, but the guy that I like is Darren O'Day. I've been a big fan of his. I wanted the Red Sox to sign him when he was a free agent most recently with Baltimore, and he kind of wanted closer money, but he deserved it. And that was sort of when you started to see relievers get paid or setup guys get paid similar to what closers were getting because their importance is still very high. And a lot of like the older general managers and baseball executives didn't recognize that. So there wasn't enough value placed on them. And then the Orioles started that trend of, all right, well, we value what Darren O'Day does as a setup man, so we're going to pay him more than your average setup man, and they did. So I would love to have O'Day, but the question is, are the Orioles willing to eat some money? I highly doubt that. You know, they're trying to obviously rebuild over there. The Red Sox don't have enough prospects to give up. So it's kind of a complicated situation, but if there's like a wish list, I would say, for me personally, I would say Darren O'Day somewhere at the top.
All right, Darren O'Day. That's the name I'm going to have to keep an eye on here as we go forward towards the trade deadline. All right, before I let you go, we know that the stakes are high, obviously, for the Red Sox and the Yankees. What about you and Hubs? Did you make any kind of bet for the weekend, or is it just going to, again, you're just going to watch one or the other get tortured while your team wins or loses this weekend?
Yeah, every time that we come to the stadium, which is kind of ridiculous that he's never been to Fenway. I've now come to every single game here, and I gotta put my ass in the jackpot every single time. But I think we got to do some social videos tonight. So it's basically we're just wagering public humiliation,
awesome.
Which is kind of worse when you think about when I came here the last time and they kind of got their asses kicked twice, and then the game that they won, we didn't even come. So that wasn't ideal. So Hubs never got to get a taste of his own mess, and so hopefully that's the favors returned tonight.
All right, well, good luck to you and the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium tonight and the rest of this weekend, Jared, and have a good 4th of July if I don't talk to you. Bye, pal.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate you taking the time. Again, Jared Karabas covers the Red Sox and all things MLB for Barstool Sports.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter with Tony Maserata. Show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Baseball Reporters, 98.5 of Sports. So Tony Maz out again tonight. So you have me, Big Jim Murray here, alongside Marshall Hook, and you at 617-779-0985. We'll go to Paul in Providence. You are first up here on the Baseball Reporters tonight. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Jim. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
So my question was, with Pedroia out, mostly he missed, like, I think he's played in, like, two games. Do you think that that's allowing the team to develop better with the younger hitters? Is he a poison in the clubhouse?
If we're talking about last year, maybe. A poison's probably too strong. I just think that, I don't know, there's a air of selfishness that goes with Dustin Pedroia. I always thought he was overrated in terms of leadership, or, there certainly isn't much there. But I don't know how much you're going to get out of him in the lineup. It feels like that knee is going to continue to be an issue. I've convinced myself that I don't think he's even going to be back this year. So, to some extent, yeah, I think it's maybe helped some of the younger guys grow. But I don't know, like, considering the lack of production you've got from Eduardo Nunez, I can't say it's like a 100% positive that he's been out this
year. That's a void in the lineup.
Absolutely. And thanks for the call, Paul. Let's go to Billy and Waltham. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hey, Billy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Everybody looks back on the Fire Farrell movement with a little bit of fondness, you know what I mean? Like, I think we all love it. But I think there needs to be a new movement. I think we need to start a new one called the Dump Dombrowski movement. I think I don't have any faith in him that he's going to make a trade that's going to bring in anybody that's going to put us over the top. And I think ultimately we're going to end up falling short again, especially when it comes to the bullpen, because he, even going back to his Detroit days, he's had a miserable time bringing in closers, bringing in relievers. He can't seem to do it. So, like, we have a bunch of big names on our team and no way to close out games. We're Detroit 2.0. It's crazy.
Well, that's been
Dump Dombrowski.
Billy, that's maybe we can get the hashtag going here if they end up blowing it in the playoffs for the third straight year. Hashtag Dump Dombrowski. It feels premature for now. Look, he's made some extremely questionable moves from Drew Pomeranz, Tyler Thornburg, Carson Smith. I mean, three guys right there. I question how much homework he actually did on those three players. Did you really have the medicals on those guys, or you just saw the fact that, you know, they would be a good fit in terms of the bullpen or the rotation, and they were strong-armed, and we were like, the hell with it. I'm just making these moves. I want them. Like, there's moves he's made that have been extremely questionable. There's three right there. Some have panned out, like Eduardo Nunez last year. This year, not so much. But Dump Dombrowski for now? No, not yet. We could get there. His inability to build a bullpen has certainly bit him in the ass before. 2013, as Matt McCarthy brought up last night on the Baseball Reporters, Hook, if he had a different bullpen there, we're probably talking about a different World Series champion in 2013 and not the Red Sox. This has been this guy's issue wherever he's been.
I mean, this is true, but let's not also overreact. This is a team with, what, the best record in all of baseball now?
Right.
So you don't normally fire the guy that got you the best record in all of baseball. The real concerning part for me, and I think for a lot of people about Dave Dombrowski, is not this year, not right now, but take a look at the Tigers, the team he was last in charge of, and what they look like right now. And that could be the Red Sox 5 years, maybe even 3 years down the line, when some of these guys that he's acquired, he either has to re-sign to big, you know, deals in Kimbrel and Sale, or they leave, and now you don't have them, you don't have the prospects to get new versions of them. And what you've got left is David Price's really huge deal and a couple other big contracts and no competitiveness and no way to get better.
And it does feel like this farm system, while barren, is also snake bit. If you hadn't heard the news today, and Hook, you've had it a few times in the updates, their first-round pick, Tristan Casas, underwent an MRI on his right thumb today. He's back in Boston, evaluated in the coming days, and it turns out he has what?
It's a torn thumb ligament.
Yeah, a torn thumb ligament. So he's done for the rest of the season. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
Yeah. The one thing I will say, and I've seen this pointed out a couple times, remember, he's in short season ball, so he's really only missing about 2 months. He's effective because the season ends on September 1st, so he's basically missing July and August, and then his season would be done anyway, and this is not something that will affect him long-term. I mean, I'm not going to pretend I know anything about him, but I could look at a calendar and say, whoever he is, this is something that's going to lose him 2 developmental months.
Yeah, he was their first-round pick and a third baseman or infielder, and so, yeah, this isn't, we're not talking about a dislocated knee or anything that could be, you know, potentially career-altering, but it does feel like there is a dark cloud over the prospects for the Boston, for the Red Sox. You know, so this kid tears his thumb, he's done. Michael Chavis, popped for banned substance, gets the 80-game suspension. Jay Groom, their top pick last year, ended up having to get Tommy John surgery. It just feels like every time you look up, something bad has happened to any of these guys that have any potential, or that is their top pick, like Groom and this kid Tristan Casas. But man, you look at this thing, and it feels barren. This is why it feels like they're not going to be able to make any moves to maybe even add a bullpen arm. Talked to Jared Carabas in the Barstool Sports in the prior segment. He mentioned Darren O'Day. Well, as it turns out, got a lot of tweets about this real quick, Hook. And turns out, well, Darren O'Day, you can take him off the table too. Apparently, Carabas didn't know that he was just transferred to the 60-day disabled list today. He has a hamstring strain, so he sounds like he's done too.
Well, there you go.
So take another name off the books for the Red Sox potentially putting into their bullpen. So it feels like this is going to continue to be a problem. I think you're nuts to stick your head in the sand and just look at a 55 wins like, they're fine. No, the bullpen is still going to be an issue. It has been the last couple of nights, and it could potentially bite them in the ass tonight. In that, something you have to keep an eye on is whether or not Craig Kimbrel is going to be available for this first game against the Yankees. 617-779-0985. If you want to talk Red Sox Yankees, what your expectations are for this team in this series, considering that they have Chris Sale and David Price throwing in this series, and Eduardo Rodriguez, who has had a lot of success against the Yankees since he's been a member of the Red Sox. I have to think, you know, and considering how well the Red Sox have been playing as of late, you know, you have to feel confident about the Red Sox getting out of this series with 2 out of 3. A sweep would be obviously fabulous, but 2 out of 3, I think, is certainly well within reason. And then, you know, you're well on your way. Worst case scenario, of course, they lose 2 out of 3 or swept. Huge series. You cannot overestimate how big this series is for both of these teams. Jimmy in New Hampshire, you're next here on the Baseball Reporters.
All right, guys, I've got it's kind of a conspiracy theory for you. I think you'll like it.
Okay.
So Hanley gets flipped at some point by the government, and he is actually the informant, and that's why he's not being picked up right now. That's kind of why the Sox cut him, and he's not actually in the Dominican. He's somewhere hidden because he's the guy that the affidavit appeal for and is the informant.
Well, look, I have to take it this on the face, and that Hanley Ramirez was just friends with this guy, and you know, based on his Instagram posts over the last week or so, he's enjoying his time in the Dominican Republic. If you want to think he's on the lam, fine, that's on you. At worst, he maybe had some involvement in this fentanyl ring that is out of Lawrence, and we'll find out more about this as this unnamed guy, his friend of his who got arrested, ends up in front of a court in a few weeks. That's what the latest we heard in that Athletic story. He's done. No team's picked him up. He's too toxic to touch. He says he doesn't want to be a baseball player anymore from his Instagram post. No one's going to touch Hanley because of this story. Even if it was just minimal involvement and it was just this friend who was involved in fentanyl, no one's going to touch him. Oh, but there's nothing to see here with this story. Did you like that finger-wagging story from the Boston Globe on Sunday? Hook, the story's over. Hanley had no involvement with this whatsoever. How dare you question this? It was irresponsible to even think that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, that's their way of looking at it. And as I pointed out to some people, because, it was a week ago that we had Michelle McPhee on here, and she told a story to us, and then it was a couple days later that the Globe had their story. People said, oh, well, she was wrong. And I said, well, that's not necessarily true, because she said he was under investigation. The story from the Globe a few days later said he wasn't. Well, there are plenty of people who were, and then the investigation wraps up and it's over. That doesn't mean they were never under investigation. So being under investigation on Friday and not being under investigation on Monday, both those things can be true.
Yeah, yeah, and there's still, I feel like, maybe more to come here with this story, too. But no, it's all over here. This is the real story. How dare you even take Michelle McPhee at her word? Well, because she's a crime reporter, and a reputable crime reporter. But no. There's no bias behind the Boston Globe in that story, too. Who owns them again? Oh, that's right, John Henry, the owner of the Boston Red Sox.
The baseball reporters, Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.